for listening to this message from Mount Olive Church. We hope you enjoy it.
The word of the Lord was for this season that we would not as a church just celebrate or observe this Pentecost Sunday. But just like the lyric said, that we could be in this moment that he wants us to experience Pentecost, a move of the Holy Spirit that I believe that I've been birthing in my spirit for the last 2 years that eye has not seen and the ear has not heard, and it's never even entered into our hearts or our imagination what he has prepared for those who love him. I'm convinced that we're not just a part of another church service, that we are in the birthing season of a move of God that the earth has been crying out for generations on top of generations. As they play, I want us to just right now posture our hearts to this one mind, this one accord, this one spirit that they spoke of in the book of Acts, this one heart, this one motivation, this one desire, and that's to see the outpouring, the promises of God like never before. Come on. So would you just pray? Come on, just begin to intercede. Just pray. Begin to shift your hearts and your minds to the one thing, and that's Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Come on, just pray. Holy Spirit, come. We don't just want your presence. We want your glory, God. Come. Come on, there were many people around the woman with the issue of blood that were in the presence of Jesus, but only one made the exchange. Come on, let us not just settle to be here, to be gathered, but let us be in the place that we hunger for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Come on, just begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray. God is doing something, and he needs hearts that are going to be tuned in to what he's saying and tuned in to what he's doing across the earth. Hallelujah. I've been in intense prayer, fasting, and interceding for 90 days. But within the last 10 days, the heat was on. And I heard something in my spirit as I began to just really hear the word of the Lord in prayer time. And there's a word that I heard that I don't know if I've ever even referenced before. And it was the word clarion. I heard the word clarion. I took it to be clarity. But it was not anything to do with clarity. The word clarion was the screeching trumpet. I heard the Lord say, this is a clarion moment to where the sound of the trumpet has to be blown across the earth. Now, I don't know if that means that God that is going to send Jesus to rapture his church today or next week or next year. I don't know that. But I do know that there is a cry. There is a call. There is a voice that he's sending out into the earth. And it's calling sons and daughters to come home. But it cannot be done without a manifestation of power and glory. The only thing they needed in common, despite their diversities and despite their differences, the only thing they needed in common was a hunger and a desire for the promises of God. So in the upper room, they postured themselves in anticipation and waiting. In anticipation and waiting. for whatever this promise was that they needed to have reference for. And I believe that's where we are in this moment across the globe. We are in the most unusual times in history.
Go ahead, Pastor Dave.
Matter of fact, I would even dare to say, I think Brother Miles was talking to me the other day. He said, Pastor B, I believe 2020 will be a time that will be written in the history books. Could this be where we've preached Pentecost or Azusa Street or the Wells Revival in 1906 and 1907 that even went out to South Korea? I mean, could this be the next movement that the church tomorrow will say, I'm not sure how it happened, but there was an outbreak. There was a pouring out of the Holy Spirit in 2020. That changed the earth. Would we dare to believe that we're in a moment to where God wants to shift nations? So much has changed from uncovered political agendas to this unseen killer that we've called COVID-19 to massive shutdowns across the globe that this economy has never seen. And evil and sin has wreaked havoc on our land. We've been in this moment so much that we now even have arrogant law enforcers who will take the life of innocent men and women. And because of that, and then you got some folks who plead for justice, but now gives it permission to go commit unadulterated crimes across the globe. We've seen so much, so many casualties. And I've asked God, what in the world is this mess? What is this? I'm watching what's going on, and I'm hearing about what's going on, and I'm trying to reconcile this with what I've been hearing in my spirit for the last 90 days. And not just me, this has got nothing to do with me. This is across the globe. Men and women who have been fasting and praying for this country, for this outbreak, for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has been hearing God say things, been revealing things to sons and daughters. I talked to our sister Liz in California. She's got an ear to hear, and she says God wants to do something Pentecost. So I'm talking about from one coast to another coast. God is speaking. I'm not preaching you a sermon today. I don't have a sermon to preach. I have to be a trumpet so you can open your hearts and your ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Even in this parking lot, He's pulling on hearts. Because you may not have answers, but your heart is open and can now hear His voice. He's calling. Hallelujah. These guys are kind of going to stand by. I'm going to share a little bit about what I've been feeling and what I've been hearing. And I believe this is a time that we have to give not only prophetic instruction. These guys can kind of remain if you like. There is a voice. There's a sound. There is a call that God is sending to the earth. And He's sending it now. Last year, many of you who follow this ministry, you guys just keep giving me some atmosphere. Come on, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to give some word. Last year, Pastor Stevie and I, myself, has had numerous conversations about this. Other people that I'm connected with have had numerous conversations about this. From what the church had been hearing from 2019
even earlier 2019 to latter 2019 to the beginning of 2020, that there was this urgency. There was this urgency. There was this tension. And we had this call that there would be a 2020 clear focus. That was across the globe. We heard this everywhere. 2020, clear vision, clear focus. We go to this time. I mentioned it yesterday. There's a prophet. His name is Chuck Pierce. I tuned into it and I heard him. He said that in 2020 we would live or experience a literal Passover. Literally. Pastor Stevie said that it came to his spirit that we would be shut in our houses during the time of Passover. So we don't celebrate it or observe it as we have in the past. We experienced Passover to where a literal plague was coming around the globe. And you remember when God instructed Moses to take them in their homes, the people did not have to be perfect. The sacrificial lamb had to be perfect. And wherever blood was applied to the homes, that it would pass over. We got to listen to what God is saying. So we went into a time of little Passover. I mentioned it. I tuned in. The word is that this, so at the Passover, we celebrated Easter in such a unique way. Such a unique way like I've never really experienced before in my life, Pastor. Shut in our homes, communion with our family, personal communion. There was this revelation of the life of Jesus. There was this new revelation of the blood of Jesus, the penalty for sin that he put upon himself and reconciled men and women across the globe to himself. It was this precious price of this blood sacrifice that brought salvation and defeated death for me and for you and your family and your family's family, for your children and your children's children, all that would call, whosoever will. And then now we come into this season of waiting. This, when Jesus, after his resurrection, he presented himself alive to his disciples for 40 days, would teach them about the kingdom of God. Before his ascension, he told his disciples, I want you to go wait and I want you to tarry until you've been endued with power from on high. You've been out. I've sent you out. You've done signs, miracles, and wonders. You've seen people come to me. You've seen the miraculous, but you're missing something, and I want to baptize you with this Holy Spirit and fire, but you must wait in anticipation. You must cultivate and create a capacity within your hearts to hold the oil that I'm bringing. We have been tarrying and waiting. Literally. Tarrying and waiting because we didn't know what it was, but we felt there was something that he was bringing to the globe. The nations, not just Robinson County, by the way. Not just Pembroke, but this would be a universal outpouring of his spirit. So we've been waiting day and night. I've been crying. I've been laying hands on pictures of the nations and crying out for souls and sons and daughters in third world countries. God, pour your spirit on all flesh. I want us to see this. After Passover, and the word Pentecost just comes from the number 50. It's 50 days after Passover. It's all it is. The Greeks gave it Pentecost. It used to be Shavuot. In Exodus 19, which is what is believed to be the very first Pentecost experience. In Exodus 19, after they've been delivered, watch this, out of Egypt. Significant, because now God has taken us into something. Exodus 19. God says, you yourself have seen what I've done to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. Now this word eagle caught me and captivated my heart because I heard the Lord say about 3 weeks ago, third eye lens. If you've never studied the eagle has a supernatural capacity to see in the midst of storms, and it's called third eye lens. He was speaking to me about the vision of the eagle. And it says, I brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Listen, if you will obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among the peoples. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. This is what God was saying to Moses. So Moses instructed the people. What did they do first? Go consecrate yourselves. Go consecrate yourselves. Set yourself apart. Purify yourselves. This could be the word for sanctification. Sanctify yourselves. Get to a place to where you've purged yourselves from these impurities. You've repented. You've sought God. You've asked for God. You've consecrate yourselves. How many know this is what we've been doing? This precedes the outpouring. Watch this. And it says, and tell them to wash their garments and let them be ready. Consecrate yourselves and wash and tell them to be ready. The Lord will come down at Mount Sinai in the sight of the people. Verse 16. So it was morning that there were thunder and lightning, flashes and thick clouds upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound. There's this word trumpet again that I got from the word clarion. It's a very identical expression of the Holy Spirit that we see in Acts chapter 2. So in the morning there was a thunder, lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound. Verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because of the Lord descended upon it in fire. We also see fire in Acts chapter 2, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And its smoke ascended like smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Verse 19, and when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered with him in thunder. Then the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. God calls him to the top of the mountain, and we know what happens. He begins to show him a measure of glory, and the Bible says that he begins to give him what we know as the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Now watch this in Exodus 20, next chapter. After this dimension of glory that Moses came into, thunder and lightning and flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the smoke, and the mountain was on fire. They trembled and stood at a distance. And Moses told them, listen, this is the word of the Lord. They stood at a distance, and Moses told them, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He says, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain in you. They were afraid because this experience, this expression of this move of God was like none that they ever seen. Moses had to give them as the disclaimer, do not be afraid. He brought it to test you to see if you would remain in fear. Now hold on, watch this. Don't be afraid, but remain in fear. Fear had nothing to do with being afraid. It had everything to do with the posture of their hearts. What he was saying, you need to stay in a place of awe. Don't let his splendor scare you. Stay in a place of awe. Stay in reverence. don't criticize the expression he chooses to bring to the earth. He who have ears, let him hear. So now we come, that's just a brief synopsis, and now we come to this Acts chapter 2 Pentecost scenario. He tells them to go, wait, and tarry. To go, to wait, and to tarry. Why? He says this, the promise of the Father will come upon you. Now watch. The promise of the Father will come upon you, and you will be a witness. Now this word witness is not just to go and tell people about Jesus. This word witness was a legal term that means show proof, to demonstrate, to give substance to what you say. Jesus says, I want you to go and wait and tarry, because there is going to be a self-proving anointing that was coming upon you by way of the Holy Spirit. He's not just coming with noise. He's coming with power and demonstration. Are you with me? And he says, the Bible says that they tarried. But then, suddenly, they tarried in anticipation. They waited, but he chose to come suddenly. Why couldn't they just show up when the suddenly happened? Because the waiting was creating room for the outpouring. Let me say that again. Why couldn't God have just... instructed Jesus to go tell them to show up when the suddenly happened? Because the tarrying and the waiting, I believe, was them dying to themselves. You can't be filled with glory if you're filled with yourselves. We can't hold the measure of outpouring if we don't leave room for flexibility to what the Holy Spirit wants to bring. I want you to wait. I want you to die to yourself. Every impurity, every motive, every greedy ambition that's in you, kill it. Everything that we've wanted out of a ministry for ourselves, kill it. We've said it was for the sake of the kingdom, but it was self-ambition, and we know it. He says, tarry and wait, and I'm going to give you something that I promised you in John 14 and John 16. And some translation calls him an advocate. Some translation calls him a comforter. Some calls him a helper. And it was the Greek word for parakletos. It was the Greek word for parakletos. It means summoned and called to one side, called to their aid, to be their intercessor. The parakletos came to aid them and their natural abilities that they could not do on their in themselves, came to aid them for supernatural demonstration, to endure persecution. Listen, we hadn't entered into a move of God unless we've been talking about. According to scripture, everywhere I've seen there was an outbreak, the Jesus ministry, everywhere I've seen it, there would always be a persecution. People pointing their fingers. This cannot be God. And he says, you're going to need a parakletos for one to come alongside you and help you endure the persecution. Holy Spirit didn't come to fit in. It came to take over. It doesn't matter what culture says and how they identify us. We are to walk as He walked. If we say we love Him, should we not walk in the same manner, Scripture says, as He is, so are we in the earth. Pastor, the word of the Lord that came to you was this, that He wanted to anoint us to walk and demonstrate the kingdom on earth just as He did. You said, that's impossible. I'm sure the disciples thought that same thing. They were uneducated. They were not of pedigree and they were not of social status. But they had something that culture did not have. They had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire. Man, my spirit has been bursting to the seams to give what I feel like God had for us today. I'm not even going to share all that I have. The Bible says, 1 John 5, 7 and 8, that there's three who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are three who bear witness on the earth, water, the blood, and the Spirit. What's the only common denominator between heaven and earth? The Spirit. The Spirit bears witness in the earth, been washed and purified in water, and that the blood applies to them. I confirm that and I testify to that, the Spirit says. And the Spirit also says that I bear witness and testify in heaven with the Father, the Son. And the Bible declares that on earth it's the water and it's the blood. The Holy Spirit came. Why? To testify on heaven and on earth. You missed that one. He came to prove, to testify that you are washed in water and blood. And that Holy Spirit came to the Father and the Son to begin to execute on earth as it is in heaven. It was the purpose of the prayer of Jesus. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not just say it. On earth as it is in heaven. The Bible says it was Christ in you was hope for glory. Christ in you is the hope for glory. The hope of the glory of God came by way of Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit now lives in the believer. And before I finish, I do want to bring some clarity to the tongues. We have made Pentecost, Pastor Stevie, especially in the church that I grew up in, church world that I grew up in, that we've made Pentecost all about speaking in tongues. And we've confused it with babbling, and people have criticized it for just a bunch of babblers. I'm about like Paul. I speak in tongues all the time. All the time. But we cannot minimize this to a babble. Remember, that was Genesis chapter 11. When the people, Pastor Stephen came a while ago, he said, Pastor V, this is not about building a monument. This is about living in a moment. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 11. What were they doing? They were building a monument for themselves. They tried to reach heaven for themselves. It was their agenda. It was their effort. It was their strength. And you know what God says? God says, I have to begin to release a division on their tongues. Separate them in languages, because they're busy building something for them, and I have to separate them to build something across the earth. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 11 is the first time we see a division of tongues. Acts chapter 2, he comes. By the way, Holy Spirit don't just speak English. He don't just speak Chinese. He don't just speak Portuguese. He don't just speak African. He speaks the language of heaven. So the outpouring came, and it was like cloven tongues of fire that settled upon each of them. The tongues were split, but it came from one fire. The fire rested upon each of them. So now they were able to communicate the language of heaven, so where nations across the globe could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not intended for Pembroke alone. The nations is his inheritance, says Haggai. It was about a power and a glory of one fire, one flame that divided itself in the upper room company. And now they became stewards of this fire. And now they would be his voice. And his voice would be in their voice. And when they spoke, go home and study Acts chapter 2. The emphasis was not on what they said. The emphasis was on what they heard. They said, I hear them speaking in my language. So if God can divide the languages in Genesis chapter 11, he can bring them back in Acts chapter 2. And now his voice becomes the voice to the nations. I believe that we are in this Kairos moment. Sister Mel, Chris, Britt texted me this week about their baby. Many of you have been praying for them. Many of you have been interceding for them. But I said, this is not a season of loss. This is a season of promise and breakthrough. I believe the report of the Lord. And the report of the Lord is this, that we are in a Kairos moment. Kairos means right time. We've been through the Chronos times. We're now in a Kairos moment. The time is the right time. We are on his time. We have been set up for breakthrough. Me. We have been set up to break through the promises that's over your house. It's coming your way. The promises that God made you is coming in fullness and in power. Let me show you what I'm talking about, man. I finish. I'm going to declare what the apostles declared to everybody that they went to and ministered. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Ghost. Now watch this in Acts chapter 3. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. After Acts chapter 2, we go into Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John goes up to the temple, and they go by this gate called Beautiful. At this gate, there lays a lame man, lame in his feet from birth. Bible says that they began to ask for alms of Peter and John. Peter and John says this, "Silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, I release unto you." Now watch this. They remembered what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 8. Freely you've been given. Now freely. Hold on, watch this. Freely you've received. Now freely give. Freely you've received. Now freely. Now watch this. The man was at the gate beautiful. Beautiful means right time. It wasn't about how pretty it was. It was about the moment they were in. Watch this. It's believed by many theologians that Jesus would have passed by this gate many times in his ministry. And if he was a beggar, he would have been at this gate many times in his ministry. Why didn't Jesus heal the man? Right time. Right time. He knew that there would be something that he prophesied to the disciples. That greater works shall you do, because now I go to my Father. And when the Helper comes, watch this. He knew that there would be such a weight of glory that will settle upon the disciples, that when they went to this man, it would be his right time moment. That the disciples could demonstrate in glory, in authentic power, in purity, this power that was released from heaven. It was right time. Now there's some of you who believes that Jesus has passed you by and has not stopped at your gate. I'm declaring unto you, it's right time. We are on God's time clock. We are on his agenda. The kingdom of darkness has shot arrows into the globe. They have an agenda to defeat the kingdom of God, but it will not happen. It will not go without a fight, but it will not happen. But there's also an agenda in the earth. It is called the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has been mantled with an anointing and a power that can go into the face of the adversaries and speak life to it in Jesus' name. It's the power of Pentecost. It's not a sermon, and it's not just a season. It's a power. Mama E, I know you'd like this one. I think God is looking for Esther's to go into Persia. He's looking for Daniel's to invade Babylon. He's looking for Joseph's who will go into Egypt. Jesus that will pass by Samaria. He's looking for Peter who will minister to the Jews. And a Paul who will go to the Gentiles. Where's the church? Where is the church of the living God? War. Come on, it's time for war. It's time for war. The Bible says in Psalms 2 that he desires the nations as his inheritance. Haggai 2:7 says, I will shake the nations. Oh man, you missed that. This is the prophetic timeline that we're on. He's shaking nations.
shaking nations. Come on, did you see it? He's shaking nations. So what is the desire for shaking nations? Haggai tells us to fill his house with the glory of God. What's the desire for the shaking? To fill the house with the glory of God. I'm sorry, boo. That's not God's house. We are the temple of God. And he's about to mantle us with a glory that we've never seen before. Hey. Come on, give your cry. Give your cry. Come on. Give your cry. I'm almost done. I'm done. I want to leave you with this hope for what we see going on across the globe. My heart has broken. I told Pastor Stevie, this time in the early part of the year, I feel like that God was sharing the burden of his heart with me. So I began to this place of travailing and crying out to God, and I printed off some maps of America, and I printed off maps of the nations of the world, and I'll go to those maps and I'll lay hands on them and I'll pray and I'll declare God's word over them, because the nations is his inheritance. Not only that, the Bible says that he is the desire of the nations. They desire him, and he desires them. I leave you with this hope. I know it looks bad where we are, but there is a revival, and I believe, by the way, this is why we are where we are. It's the birthing of a new, great revival. Not church service. Revival. And revival, this one will bring reformation. And I believe it's the last call to the church. I believe it's the last call of outpouring. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But if I'm right, then this could be the time that he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit and I'm going to attract nations, and nations will stream to the house of the Lord, the Bible declares in Isaiah. Clay County, Kentucky was living in corrupt sin. I'm going to just read to you a few things that were going on in Clay County, Kentucky. Murder, crime, you see that happening? Polluted government, law enforcement, lawyers, judges, and even pastors were involved in drug trafficking. This is what the interviewers said in the report, that they were so tired of attending funerals of young people. Their words were this: we were living in a literal hell on earth. The land was barren. It wasn't producing. Animals would leave because the waters were so corrupt. I'm talking about sin invasion. And when all hope seemed to be gone, they went to the one thing that was the sure thing. They began to cry out for revival. They prayed and they interceded. They cried out to God. Not only, watch this, not only did God heal the people, God healed their land. People started repenting. Salvations. The animals. They say that now Clay County, Kentucky has the most population of elk and deer, and fishermen go there to fish all across the globe. Why? Because the animals came back to a healed land. It was no longer barren. They produced crops like never before. Why? Because there was a cry of desperation, a cry for revival, a cry for an outpouring, a cry for a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you what's going on around our globe right now. Because of the killing of George Floyd, I understand that people have begun to take justice in our hand. But I believe that we are in a day that if we can cry out for revival, God will not just heal people, God will heal the land. That's the prophetic word of the Lord for you today. That's all I have. Today is the marking of a new day. I wrote it down, May 21st, when we ran into the 10-day intercession. May 21st, I felt God say to me, May 31st will end the last season. June 1st will enter into a new day. I wrote that down, literally. I felt the word of the Lord on that. So I'm saying to you, may we not grow weary in well-doing. May we have ears to hear. May we not be judgmental. May we not be critical. But if we can only hear the voice of the Lord, don't get offended about how He chooses to manifest Himself. I believe this day is a new day. It's the birthing of the next great awakening across the globe. We have cried out for revival for too long. Pastor Stevie, we have endured enough loss. I believe that we are coming into a day that the harvest... Oh, yeah, by the way, did you know that Pentecost was a feast of harvest? Did you know that Pentecost was the feast of harvest? Pastor Stevie got a word the first of the year. First fruit. You remember that? First fruit. First fruit. First fruit. What did they do on Pentecost? They celebrated harvest. I declare unto you, sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, grandmas, grandpas, mamas, and daddies that you've been praying and interceding for, you better get ready, because mercy is running after them and mercy is going to bring them home. Give a shout! Give a shout! Anointing across this parking lot. There's a strong anointing. I declare that the sound of the trumpet will go into the city and the town of Pembroke in Jesus' name. But we will be remiss if you don't feel the Holy Spirit. I really want to pray for you. But I believe there's a tugging at hearts, even in this parking lot, that this could be the day of a new birthing inside of you. This could be the day of something great that happens in your life. If this is you, we want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you. We want to declare like the apostles did, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you've not never experienced the filling of the Holy Ghost, we want to lay hands on you today, because we believe that today is the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I got so much faith in me right now. If there's any sick among you, the Bible declares that if we can lay hands on the sick, they will recover. I declare if you're suffering with any illnesses, I ask you to lift your hands and receive now the promise of healing. The promise of healing is coming to you. I declare right now the promise of the healing power of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. The promise is for you. Hallelujah. before we go, one last shout, one last clarion cry for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the fire. You that the revival is about reformation. Bring reformation to the places that you have influence. This is no longer the days that the pastors do it all. This is the day that he's sending sons and daughters into reformation in Jesus' name. We release you, we bless you.
Listening to this message. For more access to our worship experiences, visit us at Mount Olive Church, 610 Normal Street in Pembroke, North Carolina, or join us online via Facebook at Mount Olive PH Church.